Well, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. And it's been a few weeks. We've looked at, on Sunday nights, 1 Thessalonians. And as we looked at this letter, Paul was concerned for these brothers and sisters in Christ in Thessalonica. And as he brought about and started writing this letter, he, just to refresh us a little bit, in chapter 1, he gives thanks to God always for all of them, mentioning them specifically in his prayers. He remembers them before God the Father, their work of faith, their labor of love, their steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, we know that you have been chosen by God. Chosen. And the gospel came to you not only in word, but in power and the Holy Spirit with full conviction. And you know what kind of men we were among you. And so we are so grateful and thankful to the Lord. And so much so that you even became an example, he says, to all the believers in all the area. And so we are so thankful. Your faith in God, he says in chapter 1, has kind of gone everywhere. Wow. And we not need to say anything. And we came away from that study saying, well, am I thankful for the body of Christ? Am I thankful for my brothers and sisters in the Lord? Am I really thankful for them? Do I intentionally pray for them? Do I lift them up before the Lord? Do I remember their work in the Lord, their labor of love? Do others see my work for the Lord and labor of love, and they're thankful for me? Am I confident how God is working in my brothers and sisters' lives? Would others imitate you because of your love for the Lord? And so we looked at that in chapter 2. We moved on in the beginning there of the first 12 verses and what effective ministry means according to the Apostle Paul. And the underlying motive of serving Christ was that it was productive and persevering and with pure motives from his heart unto the Lord. And it was approved by God. It was pleasing to God, and he had this fatherly instinct about his brothers and sisters in the Lord in Thessalonica and other churches that he planted. It was paternal, and so he really was grateful and said, this is who we are, and we want you to know all about it, brothers. This is who we are. Our ministry is not hypocritical in any sense. It's genuine. It's authentic. It's real. And it's approved by God, and we want you to know that. And again, we came away from that, looking at that word from the Lord. What are we doing for Jesus, if anything? And if so, why are we doing that? What's our motives in doing it? Sometimes people go about and try to build little kingdoms for themselves in the name of Christianity. But Paul wasn't doing that. He was doing it because God approved it, God called him, God equipped him, and he was doing it for the Lord. How does our church measure up to these standards, and how can we improve as we serve the Lord? What's our motives for serving the Lord? Well, tonight, as we look at verses 13 through 20, open there, and as we look, there are more reasons to celebrate, Paul is writing. Follow along as we read, and he says, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and opposed all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them at last. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? for you are our glory and joy. Let's pray again. Father, thank you for this word to our hearts today. We pray that you will open up our hearts and minds according to the power of your Holy Spirit and speak to us fresh from your word. Thank you for your teaching us and guiding us and directing us and leading us. And we thank you and we give you all the praise for what you're going to do in these moments. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. You know, there are reasons to celebrate. Birthdays are a good reason to celebrate. My future son-in-law, he has a daughter who's 25, just had a baby, and so he became a grandfather. Reasons to celebrate. Births are reasons to celebrate. Many reasons, you know, as we look, you know, and this picture has something that really speaks about this passage. And what word is it? Thankful. Be thankful. Something to celebrate. I believe Paul was writing this letter again to the Thessalonians, and he was telling them, oh, how grateful to God I am, constantly giving thanks to God for you. You know, there's reasons to give thanks. I was tempted to put up all Tampa Bay Lightning hockey pitchers because we are thankful. Okay, if you're not a Tampa Bay Lightning hockey fan, I'm sorry, but we're thankful that they made it to the Stanley Cup playoffs tomorrow night, Monday night. Okay, but we're also thankful, and here's a picture of our newly appointed Olympic men's gymnastic team. We were watching that a little bit. And they had to go through all these exercises and all these points to become the team. And what struck me was how the family reacted when the whole competition was over and the lights went on and the announcer started announcing the team, because nobody knew who was going to be on the team. There were so many young men trying out for the team, but they could only pick five. And so as they tried out for the team, those five were picked. And those parents, the camera just kind of focused in on the parents. And you know what they were doing? They were not scowling. They were not angry. They were not upset. They were not storming out of the stadium. No, they were crying in celebration. They were overjoyed. They couldn't believe it. One couple was just, the mother was just leaning over and crying so much so her husband, the dad, was trying to console her, and he was just heaving and crying. And the sister was on top of dad trying to console him, and she was just heaving and crying, tears of joy and celebration because their brother, son, had made the team, a lifelong commitment and dream. Reasons to celebrate. Paul to the Thessalonians says, and we, verse 13, also thank God constantly for this. What does he say? We thank God constantly for this. Constantly for what? That when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. We thank God constantly when others receive the word of God as it actually is. The word of God. Wow. When was the last time you have given thanks that the word of God was proclaimed, taught, and others received it, others heard about it? You know, it makes me think of the Gideons, how they're able to take the New Testament, and even though society tries to withhold them, they still place it in the hospitals. You know, the Bible is the number one book that is stolen. That's mostly because of hotels and hospitals and so forth, the Gideon work. And it's okay, isn't it? Go ahead and steal the Bible. It's okay. In our neighborhood, this couple weeks ago, I unfortunately left my car opened and at night. And yes, a young man with a hood came on and came through the neighborhood and went through a bunch of cars and went through our car. I didn't have anything of value, and he didn't go in the trunk, but I had a box of New Testaments of the Gospel of John, and I'm saying, oh, man, he missed it. He didn't take the Gospel of John. He should have. But how happy are we when we hear that the Word of God goes out, it is proclaimed, it is taught, and those who hear it receive it as it actually is, the Word of God. It's not man's ideas. It's not man's thought. It's not man's principle. But it is God's Word. As Paul told Timothy, it is God-breathed and is useful and it is profitable. It is valuable. And Paul is saying, oh, we constantly thank God that you Thessalonian believers received the Word as it actually is, the Word of God. And it has transformed your life. You heard it from us. You received it. You accepted it from us. And it is at work in you. Wow. It's a good word. It's at work in you. You notice it says it's at work in you, believers. And then he goes on in verse 14. He says, we thank God constantly when others really become imitators of Christ through the body of Christ. Notice what he says. He says in verse 14, he says, for you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and opposed all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them at last. So Paul was saying, you have become imitators of Jesus Christ, the body of believers. You are just like true believers in Judea. You are imitating them in the faith. You are examples of the good news of Christ everywhere. And you're doing that out of a heart of love. And we give thanks constantly for that. We give constant thanks to God for that. Thank you, Lord. You know, so often in our society, we are so competitive driven. Maybe it's because of the fast food industry. You know, there's McDonald's. And then there's Burger King. I'm going to make us all hungry, aren't I? And then there's Wendy's, right? And then if we're not real excited about those three, you know, we're going to go say, well, hey, Taco Bell. Or if we don't like Taco Bell, well, then we're going to go say, I know I want Chick-fil-A. But whatever it is, there's so all this competition. And sometimes we allow that to come into the body of Christ, the church, and we say, man, you know, we compete with one another instead of gladly proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ so that all men, all women, all boys, and all girls will hear the good news of Christ and fall in love with Jesus and turn from their wicked ways and ask forgiveness and receive the Lord in their heart. But yet we're so often concerned about what the church is doing down the street from us. We become critical of them or judgmental of them. Now, there are some, yes, who, yes, don't hold to the Word of God as the Word of God, as it's truly given. And we're to watch out for false teaching. We're to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We're to guard the flock. But all too often, we're easy, we're so easy to condemn and criticize and complain that we cut off fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ who are in Christ because we are competing with them. Just a thought. Here, the Thessalonians were imitators of the churches in Judea in the sense of they were being like Jesus. They were being like Christ. They were willing. How were they like them? It says there they suffered the same things from your own countrymen. So they suffered. They were suffering for their testimony in the Lord. They were under persecution. Says it's the same. It's like those in Judea who received that suffering and persecution, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and they drove us out. Paul was mindful of his own escapes and how he was persecuted and how he had to flee because they believed that they were doing a righteous thing. Even Paul started out his ministry trying to do a righteous thing for God. What was he doing? He was persecuting a group called Christians until Jesus got a hold of him on the road to Damascus and changed him. And here he says, you believers are just like them, imitating them in such a wonderful way, like Christ. And he says, their judgment is coming. Their judgment is coming. The wrath of God is upon them. It would be a real humbling compliment if someone came up to you and said, you know, I've watched you, I've looked at you, and I really want to be like you because I see your love for the Lord. Can you show me how to be like Jesus? Can you teach me that way? These believers had something going on that was right with them. They were able to imitate. And Paul recognized that and he says, oh, I thank God constantly that you are imitating Jesus through the body of Christ. Thirdly, notice what he does here. He says, we thank God, but he says, since we were torn away from you. That talks about a relationship, how he longed to be with them, part of a fellowship. He says, we long for the fellowship with you, with the whole body of Christ. He says, we were torn away from you for a short time in person, but not in our hearts. We were with you every step of the way. We were with you. I'll never forget my father, when he would always say to me, when I would, as a young man going to college from Jacksonville, Florida, and I traveled to Nyack, New York by myself, 18 years old, and he'd say, oh, that's nothing. And it was something for me, because I was known as Wrong Way O'Farrell. I could have ended up in California. And so he was greatly concerned. And so I took my 1973 Toyota Corolla and packed it up and drove that road all the way up to Nyack, New York, and would make it there. And then I would make it all the way back. And this was before they had cell phones. And so in the phone booth down in the men's dorm, I would always call them and say, Dad, I made it. I made it to school. You don't have to worry. I'm here. He says, oh, thank the Lord. I was with you every mile, every step of the way. I was with you. He wasn't with me in person, but he was with me in heart. Have you ever longed for that kind of fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ? Maybe those missionaries whom you've prayed for. You say, oh, I'm not with you in person, but I'm with you in spirit. I'm with you in heart. I'm with you. I'm a part of the team. And we as a church, that's part of us in our missionary endeavors with Nathan and Liesl Fitzgerald with their ministry in Green Mountain. We're with them. We want to walk with them. We want to partner with them. We want to pray and intercede for them that God will work in and through their lives to build the body of Christ and the kingdom of God in their ministry in Green Mountain. When we want to rejoice when those believers in Green Mountain come to Christ and become believers and begin to be discipled, and then they start telling others about Christ. We want to celebrate that and rejoice in that. We want to be that way as well, even though we can't be with our home and Remember New in Thailand and TH15 and the girls that many of us have adopted, and we're praying for them and we're walking alongside of them, and we want them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our hearts are with them and our hearts are with the McCombs and our hearts are there, and we pray for them that their ministry will flourish. Though we're not there in person, but we long for that fellowship with the full body of Christ. We celebrated annual council in Nashville, and one of the highlights of annual council or biannual council every 2 years is the last service is the great celebration of missions, where we get to honor the Lord and we get to pause and reflect on all what God is doing around the world through the Christian Missionary Alliance, and you get to see the flags, and you get to see the missionaries who represent the flags and as they march in parade. It's a great celebration. It was wonderful to see Nathan and Liesl and little Rowan representing where they are carrying the flag. We long for that fellowship, and there's a beauty in that fellowship. There is a fragrance of Christ in that fellowship. That's why it's so important to be a part of the local fellowship, because we can encourage one another as we do. Paul says, I wanted to be with you, but I was torn apart, and we couldn't be with you in person, but that didn't mean we stopped praying for you. We constantly give God thanks for you. And you are with us in our heart. We endeavored, he says, the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face. It tells me he tried to make attempts to see them because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again, he says, but Satan hindered us. There is a battle that goes on. There's nothing more that the enemy would love to do than cause division and divisiveness. He goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Satan hindered Paul from being with them. But Paul longed for them. And you know, there's something that the enemy can't stop. Satan can't hinder, in the sense. That's your prayers. Your prayers for one another. Your prayers for these in ministry. As you pray, God hears, and God will answer according to his sovereignty and his will. He longed for that fellowship, full of the body of Christ. Well, we see as well that Paul celebrated the growth of those who he discipled and partnered with. And that is God's desire for us, that we should celebrate the growth of those we disciple and partner with in the body of Christ. Verse 20, he says, well, verse 19, for what is our hope, our joy, or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. You are our glory. Enjoy. Paul, I believe, was really thankful to God for the Thessalonian believers because of their partnership with him in the gospel, how they gave, how they were willing to suffer for Christ and willing to spread the good news to others. He celebrated their growth in the Lord, that they actually received the Word of God as the Word of God and applied it to their life, and they were growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were being discipled, and they were partnering with him, and he was celebrating that fact and that truth. And he says, oh, it's that great hope. You are our great Jesus Christ, as we stand before him, we're going to boast before him, not about ourselves, not about me, myself, and I, not how many times, Lord, you know, I had to set up the tent ministry and tear it down again in order to earn a living so I can proclaim the gospel, not how many times, Lord, I went into the Jewish synagogue and proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ to the Jews, and how many times I got rocks thrown at me, and how many times, you know, that I got persecuted, and how many times I had to deal with rough waters, and then there was the shipwrecks, and then there was the snake bite, and then there was, you know, and then don't forget, Lord, you know, about the time that those men were trying to persecute and kill me. Paul was not about that in this moment. He says, you know what it's about in my boasting for the Lord? It's not going to be me. It's going to be you, believers, you who are in Christ, you who received the word, you who heard us preach the word and became sort of our sons and daughters in the faith and started growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. You are our glory and joy. You are our glory and joy. Do other believers give you joy and glory? Do you rejoice in seeing them and being in fellowship with them? It brings me to this application part. How does this passage apply to us? What would we say? What is my attitude when I see my brother or sister in the Lord Jesus succeed? Do I rejoice with them? Do I celebrate their accomplishments? Am I so grateful to God to see the growth in their life? Or do I covet? Why didn't that happen to me, Lord? Do I display jealousy? Oh, why didn't that happen to me, Lord? Or do I say, oh, Father, I am so constantly thankful for how you're working by the power of your Holy Spirit in their life? Do I enjoy being with others who express belief in Jesus, or do I judge them because of how they might appear or how they might act, or they're just, you know, they're not quite like me? You know, Lord, I don't know if I could love that person because they don't like coffee. No, right? Am I pouring my life in others so that they may grow spiritually, and then do I rejoice when they achieve and accomplish growth? Or am I frustrated that they do not gloat over me? I'd rather have them rejoice over Jesus. The Apostle Paul truly was genuinely thankful to God for what he saw and observed and heard in the lives of his brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus in Thessalonica. He was grateful to God for their growth. He longed for their fellowship and was thankful for their partnership in the gospel. God wants us to exhibit thanks constantly to him for what he is doing in the life of his church, his people, and through us. And let me just give you a word of edification. 9 years ago, when I was being considered to come on staff here as associate pastor, and I shared the news with my brother, who you know, Mark O'Farrell, who used to be the superintendent of our district and is now president of Trinity College, my brother said these words: Ted, you don't even have to pray about it. Do you know what kind of church that is? It is a wonderful church. They love Jesus. What a testimony. There is a song that is popular that is kind of a prayer. And these words came to my mind as I was thinking about all this. But God wants us to exhibit thanks constantly to him for what he is doing in the life of his church and of his people and through us. And here is the song. Oh, I have days I lose the fight, try my best, but just don't get it right. Well, I talk a talk that I don't walk and miss the moments right before my eyes. somebody with a hurt that I could have helped, somebody with a hand that I could have held, when I just can't see past myself, oh Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith, a little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Yeah, there's no denying I have changed because I've been saved from who I used to be. But even at my best, I must confess, I still need help to see the way you see. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped. Somebody with a hand that I could have held. When I just can't see past myself, oh Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Oh, I want to feed the beggar on the street, love to be your hands and feet, freely give what I receive, Lord, help me be. I want a friendship first above all else, love my neighbor as myself in the moments no one sees, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus. I probably would edit that and say a lot more like Jesus. Oh, a little less like me. A little more of living everything I preach. A little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We're so grateful for how you've used the inspired word of God. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the living word. And how the good news of Christ has gone out, how the gospel has been proclaimed. How, Lord, you even has done miracles above and beyond all we can think or imagine, how you were able to put your word in written form and give it in a language that we could even understand, and by your Spirit, teach us the good news of Jesus, knowing that it's not just something man made up, but it is the true living Word of God. We thank you. Thank you that your Word goes forth, and as it is proclaimed, that it does not return void or empty, but it is profitable and useful for the training of righteousness, for correction, for rebuke, for thoroughly equipping the man and woman of God so that we can stand strong, stand firm in the faith with the full armor of God upon us. And Lord, I pray that we will constantly give you thanks for how the word has gone forth and how others have received it, even in those moments when we've proclaimed it. And Lord, that they received it just as it is. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to be bold ambassadors for you, that we will share your good news with others, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but proclaim it boldly, knowing that your word will not return void and that you will be honored. And that we'll give you thanks. Thank you for the ministries around the globe, around the world, who is proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, we are so thankful too for those who imitate. And Lord, we may even think about our own walk with you and how we might even say, Lord, I don't want really anyone to imitate me, but oh, I want them to imitate you in me. Lord, make that so. Help us to be that fragrance of Jesus to others, to speak the truth in love, and to live the truth in love. And then, Father, I thank you for the partnership that we have and the fellowship that we have with one another, and how sacred that is. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to build up the body of Christ and not tear it down, but to edify one another and to encourage one another through the word. And Lord, we pray that you will bless our partners around the world. And we think of Nathan and Liesl and Rowan as they're preparing to go to the field. We pray, Lord God, that you will bless them and strengthen them and provide for them and build the team that you want there in Green Mountain. And Lord, that you will just push back the darkness because your Holy Spirit goes before and goes in them. And Lord, I pray that you will build your church so the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we thank you. Thank you for our girls in the ministry of TH15 in Thailand and how you are working in their lives. And we pray for Mike and Elsie McComb, and that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit and give them strength and enabling, and all the house parents, Lord, that you will bless them as they are ministering to those children, that you'll give them that ability to share Jesus, and that these little ones, boys and girls, will come to know you and fall in love with you and live their life for you. Lord, that you'll do a transformation work in and through them. Thank you. And for others, Lord, that you know about who we partner with, that we are concerned for, that our hearts are with them wherever they are ministering in your name. We pray that you will strengthen them. And Lord, that you will guide and direct them, and that you will meet their needs. And then, Father, I pray that you will help us as a church to continue to imitate, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus in word and in deed, in thought and in action, that we can be people who exhibit the fruit of the Holy Spirit because we are so in love with you. So thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for your word tonight. May we constantly give you thanks and give you praise. This we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. All God's people said, amen.